Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
40 years ago this week, classes at Boston Public Schools finally started. The opening had been delayed to give schools, students, and police an extra week to prepare for the first day of court-ordered desegregation. In 1974, federal judge W. Arthur Garrity ruled that the Boston School Committee had deliberately segregated the city schools, creating one system for blacks, another for whites, separate, unequal, and unconstitutional. The remedy he ordered was busing. 18,000 students were ordered to take buses to schools outside their neighborhoods. Remembering the chaos that erupted this morning, WBUR's Bruce Gellerman has part one of our series, Boston, Busing, and Beyond. A word of caution, the report this morning contains some offensive language.
Here's how the Boston Globe headline reported that first day of court-ordered busing in September 1974.
Boston schools desegregated. Opening day, generally peaceful.
The headline was reassuring, if not exactly accurate. This was only phase one of the federal desegregation plan. Just 59 of 201 schools were desegregated that day, and it was far from peaceful at South Boston High. South Boston was ground zero for anti-busing rage. Hundreds of white demonstrators, children and their parents, pelted a caravan of 20 school buses carrying students from nearly all black Roxbury to all-white South Boston. The police wore riot gear. Jean McGuire was a bus safety monitor.
I remember riding the buses to protect the kids going up to South Boston High School, and the bricks through the window, signs hanging out those buildings, "Nigga, go home," pictures of monkeys, the words, the spit. People just felt it was all right to attack children.
One of those children was Regina Williams.
I had no idea what to expect, this busing thing. I didn't know anything about South Boston. I didn't know anything about, you know, they didn't like us. I didn't know anything that was in store for us. But when we got there, it was like a war zone. I came back and I told my mom, and I'll never forget, I said, "Ma, I am not going back to that school unless I have a gun." Exactly. At 14 years old, I am not going back to that school.
And Regina Williams didn't, and neither did many other students assigned to the five schools affected by busing in Roxbury and South Boston. Just 20 white students attended Roxbury High that first day, and no whites showed up at South Boston High. On the second day of school, Headmaster William Reed reported things hadn't improved much at the five schools.
The attendance today was 321 blacks, 50 whites, and 11 of other minorities out of an estimated enrollment of 4,000.
South Boston parents, those most opposed to busing, formed the group ROAR, Restore Our Alienated Rights. They wanted to keep their children in neighborhood schools and issued a call for whites to boycott classes.
Our kids, by now you know that they won't go, 'cause we won't send them. The time is getting near for a constitutional amendment.
The song may have been hokey, but the white student boycott was devastatingly effective. At the time, a reporter for WGBH-TV interviewed a student named Mike.
"Why ain't I going to school? I'm boycotting."
"How come?
How come? What do you think? The cops are up there? They're locking the schools from the outside. Plus, it's busing. I don't want nothing to do with it."
"How long are you going to stay out?"
"Oh, yeah.
If you stay out all year, what are you going to do next year? I mean, you know, you're going to lose a whole year."
"I guess I'm going to have to lose it. That's all there is to it."
"You think this is going to stop it?"
"I think if we get a total boycott, it'll stop it."
The year busing began, there were 86,000 students enrolled in Boston public schools, more than half white. Today, there are 54,000 students, less than 14% white. Many parents who could afford it moved to the suburbs or sent their children to private or parochial schools, despite a plea by the city's Catholic leader, Cardinal Humberto Medeiros, not to disrupt desegregation efforts. Among those who took his child out of public school was the president of the Boston School Committee, John Kerrigan. An opponent of busing, he said the schools were unsafe. From the start of busing, police at South Boston High outnumbered students, yet the violence continued. Mayor Kevin White, making a rare TV appeal, declared a curfew and banned crowds near the school, but said there was only so much he could do to protect students and enforce the federal mandate.
The court has ruled that busing is a law in Boston, and this city is under a federal court order. The Boston police cannot implement this law alone.
Law enforcement tactics toughened, and what had started out as an anti-busing problem now included anti-police sentiment. Many of the police officers were Irish from Southie.
I had never seen that kind of anger in my entire life. It was so ugly.
Patrolman Francis Mickey Roach, South Boston High class of 54, was on duty at the school when protesters turned on him.
These are women and people who were probably my mother's age, and they were just screaming, and Mickey, you gotta quit. They picked me out because they knew me. I was a South Boston boy. I grew up in Southie. And I said, I'm just standing there. I said, I'm assigned to this. I have five children. I love my profession. I don't wish you any harm, but I'm here to make sure that nobody gets hurt. And in the police department, I wasn't too popular.
A decade later, Mickey Roach would become Boston Police Commissioner. But as the 1974 school year wore on, there would be no peace. By October, the Boston Globe wrote, "What we prayed wouldn't happen has happened. The city of Boston has gotten out of control." A group of whites in South Boston brutally beat a Haitian resident of Roxbury who had driven into the neighborhood. A month later, some black students stabbed a white student at South Boston High. The school was shut down for a month. Massachusetts Governor Francis Sargent put the National Guard on alert. State police were called in and would remain on duty on the streets of South Boston for the next 3 years. But President Gerald Ford refused to mobilize U.S. Marshals, saying it was up to the federal court judges to enforce the desegregation order.
The court decision in that case, in my judgment, was not the best solution to quality education in Boston. I have consistently opposed forced busing to achieve racial balance as a solution to quality education.
The disagreement among city, state, and federal officials took its toll on the very students the leaders were supposed to be helping. These white high schoolers were documented in the civil rights series Eyes on the Prize.
Right now, I'm just so confused between Mayor White and the rest of them. I really just feel like dropping out of society, really. That's the way I feel. Yeah, I think it's the seniors really feel bad. You have your school ring, and there won't be no prom, there's nothing going on. But I mean, it affects everybody, but the seniors really hurt.
4 decades have passed since these students voiced their frustrations and fears for the future. But Ray Flynn, South Boston's state representative during the busing crisis, later mayor of the city, and now 75 and semi-retired, says they still have not been heard.
That story of those people most affected, most negatively impacted, that affected their education, their quality of life, has never, ever been really told in a significant way. I'd hate to die and this story never be told.
Tomorrow, untold stories and unexpected consequences as our series Boston Busing and Beyond continues. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman in Boston.